whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Side note, ever eaten beaver?
What an idiot.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, you were talking about, we were talking about transfers. And it's really helping both football and basketball.
Yeah.
And it's to the detriment of the lesser schools, obviously.
It's killer.
But you were making a good point during the break. I'll let you re-disseminate it to the people. But you were talking about donors.
Yeah.
And what schools are best in line to benefit most from...
Well, there's a lot of talk that the SEC is like...
The portal.
You know, joking. SEC is a basketball conference.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about that.
Because the SEC, if you haven't seen, we were talking about college basketball.
Yeah, rolling.
Dude, it is loaded this year. The SEC is unbelievable.
Yeah,
in
Tennessee,
basketball.
Florida, Kentucky are all in the top 10.
Arkansas
is up there.
I mean, they're
Alabama's up there.
Yeah, it's a legit league.
But there's this notion out there that the SEC is now just, you know, their run of dominance is over. And look, the SEC is going to be good, right? In football, we're talking about LSU, Bama, you know, Texas. You know, these schools are going to continue to be great. Great tradition, a lot of recruiting benefits down there, you know, that all of that. But one thing to remember is back in the day, you could buy, and look, everyone bought their roster. If you don't think Oregon was buying a roster for the last 20 years, I don't know what to tell you. If you were going to be competitive in college football 20 years ago, you were buying kids. The SEC had a more advanced way of doing it. Everyone was doing it. They all had to feed at the trough. But for $4 to $5 million, you could buy an elite roster. It used to be to get a five-star kid to come visit you, it was anywhere from $5 to $10 grand, right? And it would cost you $100 grand and maybe a car to bring in one of the big time athletes. And so for schools like Bama and LSU, they had no problem coming up with a couple million bucks.
Well, but they thought also, it was what, like $200 grand for Cam Newton? Something
exactly.
Like that?
But they also kept kids home. You got to remember, they
yes.
have, in those states, Louisiana, Alabama, Georgia,
put up fences.
They have so many kids
yes.
that are just groomed there.
Yeah.
That generally stay local, so it's even easier to get them. Yes, you have to pay them, but you didn't yeah. have the Oregons or the
yep.
Ohio States of the world having this big bucket to come in and swoop them out of there.
Yeah, so now it's harder than ever because you're it's a national recruiting profile. Kids, it's no longer just I'm staying in my backyard. Look at Oregon's roster, for God's sake, it's all over the place.
Well, yeah, because the SEC, like if you grew up in Alabama,
yep.
why would you not want to go play at Alabama? Not only are they the best, or Georgia or whatever. They have the most money,
yeah.
and you get to stay close to home. Like, there was no reason to go anywhere else.
But here's the problem. Like, when Kirby Smart comes out and says, I want some of that Dan Lanning NIL money, we all kind of laugh because you're like, oh, my God, it's Georgia.
What an
but
idiot.
He's not lying. When Nick Saban came out and was critical of Texas A&M, remember that recruiting class under Jimbo Fisher? He was being serious because he was like, dude, Alabama boosters, we need to go. Places like Bama and Georgia do not have just this never-ending run of millionaires because it is no longer feasible to put together a $3 or $4 million roster. We know in college football to put together a top 15 roster, you need $20 million. You need somewhere between 15 and 20 million just to be competitive. And for places like Georgia and Bama that do not have giant rich boosters, it is becoming increasingly difficult for them to stockpile talent and pay for the kids that they want to pay. And not only is it harder for them now that you have to come up with more money, I promise you, Auburn does not have $20 million coming in donations. They just aren't. And if Florida State is another one of these that does not have a huge donor base. Miami has a couple big ones, but Miami struggles. They don't have a big donor base. They've got a couple hammer ones, but they do not have some of the resources that Texas and Ohio State and Oregon have. Oklahoma apparently is struggling with this as well. And so as we move into this new world, not only do you need more money, but you now have more schools that are willing to do it. Schools like Notre Dame, which weren't actively feeding at the trough the way that the Alabamas were, and some other schools out west that dabbled in it, but never went full SEC. You've now opened it up to where every school can do it. And some of these schools, in fact, How about that? BYU just landed the number one prospect in the country, the number one NBA guy for next year, because they were paying $7 million for him. Well,
they got a bunch of money.
They got a bunch of money.
The Mormons.
The Mormons have money.
Well, and the other one is SMU.
SMU. SMU has stepped up to the table and is like, hey, we may not be Alabama, but we have more money than Alabama. We have a hell of a lot more money than Alabama. So you now have more schools with more resources entering the fray at a higher clip. And I do think it is going to be harder and harder for some of the traditional SEC powers that maybe have smaller donors that used to just be frenzy guys. Remember the main guy at Alabama was like, he was like a car guy, and I think he had some relation to like Bear Bryant. He was like Bear Bryant's like grandson or something. And he was a millionaire, but he wasn't Phil Knight. He wasn't the SMU millionaires.
To piggyback off of that, you know what's really wild? You got me to thinking. Phil Knight, of course, Oregon is one of these too. Like, yeah. I mean, if you say Oregon, BYU, SMU, mm-hmm. uniquely positioned with just their donor base and the situation that they're in to really feast
yeah.
in this new environment.
Notre Dame, too.
Notre Dame. I don't know who else you would throw in there. But what's really wild, if you just keep it in the state of Oregon, is two of the richest men in the country. Mm-hmm. One of them is a graduate of Oregon.
Yep.
And the other is a graduate from Oregon State.
Oregon State.
The problem is, the Oregon State guy is a computer dork who doesn't give a rip about sports,
yep.
the NVIDIA guy, and Phil Knight is like Mr. Sports and dumped a lot of resources into his football program. Isn't that a kick in the pants if you're an Oregon State fan?
Yeah.
It's like, because what you're talking about, Oregon State doesn't have that in spades,
no.
but they do have one dude
one
who,
guy.
They have a Phil Knight.
They yeah. could solve that problem tomorrow
it's
if
just,
somebody
does,
wanted to.
He doesn't give a rip.
Yeah.
And I asked Scott Barnes, we had Scott Barnes on not too long ago, and yeah. I asked him about that.
Did you ever, if you looked into
I'm that. Like, hey dude, what are you doing with this guy? Like, does he care about sports? Do you talk to this? You know, and he, you know,
yeah.
he danced around it. Like I didn't, as a matter of fact.
Because I think he has donated to the school, like
yeah.
in
oh,
small
yeah.
amounts.
The engineering program
yeah.
and everything, but not sports. But he's, I mean, what's he worth? The NVIDIA's,
it's so,
it just hit an all-time high. Like,
he's
the guy's worth.
I think he's worth more than Phil Knight.
Yeah, I think he is too.
Yeah.
I forget his name. But
Jensen Huang.
Yeah, he doesn't give a rip about sports. And Barnes, you know, punted on the question, but I really want to know how much they've tried to get into that guy's pocket. Yeah.
$126
billion. Yeah.
God, so, what's Knight at?
I think Knight's like 70 or 80.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, I'm just
it's just crazy.
It's just something to keep an eye on.
33.7.
That's it?
That's what Google machine's telling me.
Man, Nike's been
taking a little. But just all of these SEC schools, when you hear their coaches, and you've heard this from Lane Kiffin, you've heard it from Kirby Smart, you've heard it from Nick Saban.
Ooh, what about Stanford?
If you got do they care?
There's a bunch of
Stanford
alumni.
Stanford is,
but you get a bunch of Jensen Huangs
yeah,
there. You get a bunch of NVIDIA guys.
That's true. But this is known for its sports, though,
yeah.
too.
For sure.
When you hear these schools in the South kind of complaining about needing money, we all laugh at it. But I'm telling you, talking to people, that is more of a thing than you realize, because they just are not donor bases that have the big heavy hitters. If you ask me again, who is poised? If this is what really ends up being the future of college football, just keep an eye on SMU. SMU will rise. They're in a.
Well, they already have. They were just
in the college football playoff the first year.
I enjoyed
and I know that they didn't quite belong. But if you don't think that roster is going to continue to get better and better and better, realize that in this world of shuffling conferences and trying to scrape together all the money you can, SMU went to the ACC and said, we'll take no money. We will sacrifice $230 million worth of future TV money just to be in a Power Four conference. And when someone brought up, are you seriously not going to take $230 million? Their donors laughed. Their donors laughed and was like, yeah, I think we can swing the 35 mil a year.
So the first time I'd seen SMU play this year was the Clemson game, the ACC title game.
Yeah.
And it was great because on that broadcast, they showed the suite mm-hmm. with all those dudes
yeah.
sitting in there with their big old cowboy hats,
yep.
drinking beer. Mm-hmm. It was something.
Yeah.
I was like, that right there, that suite right there, is going to put that program over the top.
Yep.
Did you see the photo from the playoff game against Penn State where the airport in State College was like so impacted, they got diverted, like the billionaire donor plane got diverted to like Harrisburg or somewhere that they had to bus in, and they missed the first quarter of the game, and people are saying there's about like $2 billion worth of donor money on this one bus that's making their way to
Suddenly
State
College. Suddenly they buy the State College football stadium.
They buy the airport, too, while they're at it.
They buy the airport.
Well, and it's – my buddy is – he's a big Husky guy, and, you know, and he's been involved in their athletic department, and I know a real frustration level with UW is they – in Seattle, they are surrounded by money, billionaires – huge companies, and they just can't get any of them to...
Yeah, they just don't think it's important.
They just can't get them to open up. Where the other one that I've heard brought up a lot, who has a sneaky, rich alumni base that does care, is Nebraska.
Really?
Yeah. Supposedly, Nebraska has a sneaky, big, broad base that maybe doesn't have the SMU billionaires, but there is a lot of successful people from Nebraska, and that they may be poised to be robust in the NIL era, and and throwing some weight around.
Well, we'll push off our college football crack block. I know you guys were excited, but we got onto something else there.
Yeah, we got derailed there.
We'll do that later. Up next, it is time for In the News. The era has become, Jason. Sticky the Kitty has passed.
Sticky.
Here's Buckley.